Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ho, 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 and welcome to the Ghibli Attack, the podcast that steps into Christmas with the films of the world's greatest animation studio, Studio Ghibli. I'm Michael Leader.
I'm Steph Watts.
And I'm Jake Cunningham.
So join us on our festive quest into the glorious world of Ghibli. Jake, Steph, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Am I right?
Everywhere I go. Yes. Oh, it's nice to see you both, and it's lovely to be bringing back the Ghibli Attack Christmas special. And you know, nice that we've definitely not run out of ideas, and we're kind of trying to scrape together a format a month ago for what this special could be.
Well, indeed, Jake, because Steph and I, we don't really know what the lay of the land is for this podcast. You've taken the gifts away, wrapped them up in your fortress of solitude, and you're dealing them out in an order that we're not aware of. So it's all full of surprises for us.
Yeah,
today too.
In a way, it's a bit like my family Christmas, because when I was young, I was ordained to be the gift giver. And so that everyone in my family would kind of sit back on the sofas, and then I would be the kind of elf that would go to the tree and receive a gift and then give it to people. And we're very patient, and it would kind of go around in a circle, and everyone would fawn and go, ooh, isn't that nice? And then I would return to the tree. So in a way, I'm doing that today, but with content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's no greater gift than content. I think we all know that. And so we've got we kind of got two themes that don't really mesh, but to talk you through them. The first brainstorm for this was on a tube journey with Steph, and we talked about the things that we had done before with Christmas, the Ghibli Christmas Nativity, the Ghibli Office Christmas Party, thinking about other Christmassy things, and we talked about Christmas stories and the stories that we tell each year, whether that might be a nativity story or I had a pop-up book that I'd read every year. I read my girlfriend the Polar Express every year because we're grown-ups, and that's what grown-ups do. And so we thought about, what about a Ghibli version of a Christmas story time? So that's one side of this Christmas special. And then the other side of it is because we also need to shoehorn in our beloved producer Harold and his lovely singing voice. And we've done the carols, we've done the hymns, we've done any other kind of Christmas number one that we've got him to do in all the previous specials. So we thought, what can we do here? Well, at the time of recording, I don't know if Lad Baby is going to be Christmas number one. But if Lad Baby isn't Christmas number one, then the act that has had the most Christmas number ones in UK history remains the Beatles. And so we've got Harold on board to do us some Ghibli-themed Beatles songs.
What a way to end the year with
a year of Ghibliotech that surely has the most Beatles chat of any year. It has been Beatles heavy this year, so this feels like a good way to round it out.
And you know, there's so much Beatles chat that we didn't even subject the listeners to, that we left on the cutting room floor. Gosh, but Jake, are you spoiling that next year it's going to have to be the Lad Baby Ghibli song? Which are already covers of pre-existing songs with slightly changed lyrics.
Have we done a Ghibli Band-Aid?
Well,
do they know it's Ghibli time at all?
We only have four members. We need to increase our members on the podcast.
Oh, so bringing together the titans of animation podcasting.
We get the Disneyversity guys in here. And then if we were to follow the tradition of the first Band-Aid and then Band-Aid 20, we would still get Bono in to do the same line that he did 20 years prior.
And a bit of Dizzy Rascal.
Yes.
Do they know it's podcast time at all?
That's good. Right.
See, that's already this fantasy casting of who's the George Michael, who's the Bono. Who are the embarrassing sort of egotistical ones? And who are the ones that will fade into the background? Who's the Bananarama who's just happy to be there? The status quo. Happy to be involved. Who's the David Bowie who misses out but then overcompensates by doing more at Live Aid than at Band-Aid? Anyway, we're getting into music territory here, Jake. Stop me before I go too nerdy. What's first on the list today?
Okay. So we're going to start with a Christmas story. So what we're doing here is taking classic Christmas stories and giving them a Ghibli twist. And we don't know what each other has written. And with the songs, we don't know what Harold has sung either. So all of this is going to be coming as a surprise as it's read. So, Michael, I'm going to ask you to take us away. You are the dad of the group. I'm sure that you know how to read a lovely Christmas story. So if you could take us away, that'd be great.
Well, I would say up front that Ivo's favourite Christmas story is Raymond Briggs the Snowman, which famously has no words. So, oops. But okay, so this is a version of A Visit from St. Nicholas, the poem by Clement Clark Moore. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the bathhouse not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The monsters were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of bean cakes danced in their heads. And Eubaba in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the bridge there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave luster of midday to the sights below. When what do my wondering eyes did appear but a trail of mud and a beast so queer, with a gruesome odour as thick as ink, I knew in a moment this spirit must stink. More rapid than eagles, his fragrance it came. So I whistled and shouted and called by name. Now San, now Haku, now Kamaji and Lin. On bow, on no face, everyone within. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now splash away, splash away, splash away all. As leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the cleaners they flew, with their arms full of buckets and special tokens too. And then in a twinkling I heard through the spout the gushing and rushing of water coming out. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down under water I sank with a bound. The spirit was doused from his nice herbal soak, yet in the mud I spotted, wait, is that a spoke?
Oh.
A rusty bicycle he had stuck in his back, and what looked like a handlebar all brown and black. Eubaba's eyes, how they twinkled, oh, how they did shine. That's no stink spirit, now here, grab onto this line. She rallied the cleaners, and would you believe, they all came together, grabbed tightly, and heave. Then garbage and rubbish all drudged out of the guy, and then pop, at last he was clean with a sigh. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and giving a nod, out the bathhouse he flew, whizzing past all the monsters, spirits, and cleaning crew. But I heard him exclaim, ere he flew out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Wow! That was amazing.
That was so good. I'm not going to be able to watch Spirited Away without thinking about it as a Christmas film now. I think my headcanon is now that the stink spirit is also a river and also Santa.
He's also Father Christmas. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you take these films, you read them in such a unique way, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, right. I can relax now.
Yeah, that was really, really lovely. I really enjoyed that.
Very poetic as well. Mm. Lovely.
It's a longer poem than you remember, that one.
Have you tested it out on Ivo?
He would not get it, really, I don't think.
Would he get the original?
Maybe. We'll try that out, maybe on Christmas Eve.
Love
that. Tonight he's very interested in counting the sleeps till Christmas. So.
Oh, have I told you about the Yule Lads?
Yule Lads.
The Yule Lads. So this was a recent discovery, and this is kind of Icelandic Santas.
Okay.
And so if you're in the mode of counting down sleeps till Christmas. So the Yule Lads are, genuinely that's the spelling, like Yule Lads, L-A-D-S. There are 13 of them that appear in the lead up to Christmas. And so you leave out your shoes, and a Yule Lad will appear. And if you've been good, the Yule Lad will leave candy. And if you're bad, the Yule Lad will leave rotting potatoes. But each Yule Lad has a different personality. And so these Yule Lads, each one will appear and they'll do a different thing. A bit kind of like, there's a bit of an elf on the shelf to them, a bit of a Grinchness to them. To quickly take you through it. So this is how they will appear. Sheepcoat Clod is the first. He tries to suckle ewes in the farmer's sheep sheds. Then you have Gully Gork. He steals foam from buckets of cow milk. Then you have Stubby. He's short and steals food from frying pans. Then Spoon Licker. He licks spoons. Pot Scraper, a.k.a. Pot Licker. He steals unwashed pots and licks them clean.
That sounds
bowl
great.
Licker. He steals bowls from food, often kept under the bed. Door Slammer. He stomps around and slams doors. Skier Gobbler. He eats up all of the yogurt. Sausage Swiper. He loves stolen sausages. The Window Peeper. He likes to creep outside windows and sometimes steal the stuff he sees. The Door Sniffer. He has a huge nose and an insatiable appetite for stolen baked goods. Meat Hook. He snatches up any meat left out, especially smoked lamb. And last of all, Candle Beggar. He steals candles. So those are the Yule Lads.
This is specifically in Iceland?
Yes.
Right. Where you've just been?
I have. And it was amazing because every shop window full of Yule Lads.
Did any like, of your...
ornaments of the Yule Lads everywhere. It was amazing. Never heard of them and then they're everywhere.
Yogurt or bowls get licked or swiped while you're out there?
I wish, if only I'd witnessed a Yule Lad in the flesh. What a moment that would be.
Did you get any shoe candy or potatoes?
Not a single one. I would have cherished the potato perhaps more than the candy. But I can't stop thinking about the Yule Lads. And from now on, especially when if I might have children of my own, going to get rid of Father Christmas, embrace the Yule Lads. I want them to learn about a small man that enters your house and eats your yogurt and how that's a key part of the Christmas experience.
Just setting up to terrify your children every Christmas time.
And that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it, really? Anyway, should we have a song from Harold?
Absolutely. It's my favourite time of the year.
All right, so these have been purposely left with ambiguous titles, and we don't know what Beatles songs have been picked or how Harold might have delivered them. So, this is song one.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Little Garo, it's been a long, cold, lonely career. Little Garo, it feels like years since you've had parental praise. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Little Garo, tales from Earth's seas actually quite good. Little Garo, Poppy Hill's legitimately great. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, he's all right. Sun, 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 here he comes. Sun, 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 here he comes. Little Garo, I feel that you're actually good at this gig. Little Garo, we'll forget about earwig. Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, and I say, he's all right. He's all right.
There we are.
Oh, wow.
Amazing, Harold.
I love that he also is his own guitar backing as well.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting the little melodies to come in.
And what a meaningful lyric as well.
Mm.
You learn something.
Yeah,
very uplifting for Goro there.
No mention of Ronja. Or the museum or the park. But, you know, some great lyricists out there maybe don't have the time to squeeze in all the references.
But as you know, George Harrison, about a decade after Here Comes the Sun, did a song called Here Comes the Moon. So who knows, maybe next year when we do solo Beatles Ghibli songs, we could have Here Comes the Museum.
Or isn't it a pity from the perspective of Hayao?
Gosh, yeah. How do you sleep?
Yeah.
From the perspective of Hayao or Goro. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. So thank you, Harold. You brought that to life magnificently. Really appreciate you bringing my artwork into life like that. Anyway, I think it's important at this time of year to look back on what we've done as well. Before we move on to our next story, I sound like a newsreader. Just a reminder of everything that happened in the last 12 months of Ghibli Attack, because it was this time last year, weirdly, that we started the Hosodathon because of the February release of Belle. Working backwards, we launched that one in December, and that feels like much more than a year ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, this has been quite a long year, really, considering all what we've done and what's happened in our lives and the world. But yeah, we did the whole Hosodathon, capping it off with a really great in-depth interview with the man himself. And then other miniseries as well beyond that. We weren't slouching this year.
Yeah, well. there was Hosodathon, and then there was our Chatbus miniseries with the team from Sable and Flea and Julia Cho and Maisie Williams and Beck Hill. And then we had our Selleck and Leica miniseries, and then another interview miniseries after that. So it's been great. But I want to check back. Going all the way back to Hosoda, do you stand by your Hoss orders?
Ah, well, that depends on whether we can remember what they are. Have you come with receipts?
No, so why not? Let's look back on the films and do it on instinct.
Ooh.
So you're not allowed to look back on what you said, Michael. No peeking.
Sorry.
So I'm going to tell you the films, and then we can see. All right. So the films that you have to order at this point, no looking back. We didn't do the One Piece one, but we did do Digimon in a way.
We didn't put it in the order, though. I don't think
We did cover it. So Girl Who Leapt Through Time, Summer Wars, Wolf Children, The Boy and the Beast, Mirai, and Belle.
Who wants to go first? Do you remember what your favourite was, Steph?
I think my top was Mirai. And I stand by that. I think mine was Mirai and then Wolf Children are my two kind of top ones. Then Belle, Girl Who Leapt Through Time, Boy and the Beast, and Summer Wars.
Summer Wars bottom?
Yeah, I didn't really vibe with it. I'm pretty sure that was my... Summer Wars and Boy and the Beast, very much my least favourites, hanging out at the bottom there.
So... I remember, Jake, you and I liked Summer Wars a lot.
Yes.
I have a feeling it might have been top of both of our lists, maybe, or at least top two. I can't remember where I put Belle. I think now, having in the course of this year rewatched it, interviewed him, written about the film, Belle is in competition for the top spot for me. But I think I went Summer Wars, Belle. Would I have gone Mirai, then Girl Who Leapt Through Time, Wolf Children, Boy and the Beast?
I think this was a series where you and I were quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so mine would be, looking back on it now, Belle, Summer Wars, Mirai, Wolf Children, Girl Who Leapt Through Time, Boy and the Beast. I'm very excited to revisit a lot of those films. Boy and the Beast is actually the only one that I think I'm not that excited about watching that again, because Girl Who Leapt Through Time, I know that there's stuff in there that I'm excited about seeing. Less so Boy and the Beast. But exciting to think whatever comes next, because it's going to be very different.
I've just looked up my list and I got it wrong. So I did put Belle top. So my list was Belle, Summer Wars, then Mirai, Wolf Children, Girl Who Leapt Through Time, Boy and the Beast.
Yeah, I think I really can't remember what the Selleck and Laika one was, because that was so long. But
I remember
that series, I'm like, in a year's time, looking back on that, that's going to be really interesting. And we do need to obviously complete it with Wendell and Wilde, but I think that's a brilliant film. So I'm excited to
add
that.
But surely
that's
what we're going to talk about now, right? We need to see if we can recall our Selleck and Laika rankings and where Wendell and Wilde would go. Isn't that the spirit of the end of the year?
Well, but
arbitrarily inserting new films into lists.
We will have to do a proper episode on Wendell and Wilde at some point.
Yes.
So I don't want to spoil how that one might rank. Other than I do like it a lot, and I do think it's better than Monkey Bone.
How dare you! I will say, even though that series was very, very long and we had a lot of films to pack in, I think it had some of my favourite kind of films and discussions. I think, like, some standouts for me on that one, I can't recall my whole list, but definitely Coraline, Monkey Bone, where it's not a perfect film, but I do think it has merits and I will still defend it. And probably Paranorman, I think, was a really fun one to talk about as well. I think we had some really interesting standout films to talk about on that one, and definitely like looking forward to talking about Wendell and Wilde, because that film is crazy, really fun.
That was the rare thing for us, where normally we might go into our mini series kind of having an understanding of what we might think about it, or generally if we're choosing a filmmaker to cover over a number of weeks or months, we generally choose a filmmaker who we think is well regarded or that we like. And then with the Selleck and Laika ones, a lot of that journey was thinking, how much do I actually like this?
And on that point, there's the documentary Clay Dream, which came out a month or two ago in the UK, and came out in the States over the summer, which is about Will Vinson, the Claymation pioneer and filmmaker, whose studio was bought by Phil Knight and turned into Laika. as essentially his son Travis's studio. And that we had no way of knowing at the time when we started that miniseries that that documentary would be relevant, but it's something that if you thought that we were, if we had this inkling that things were not all right at Leica, that documentary is something that very much supports some of that apprehension that we had. Mm.
Well, actually, talking of documentaries, something that like at the end of the year that I was really excited that we got to do was the Satoshi Kon, the Illusionist documentary up at the Manchester Animation Festival. And I'm really hoping that listeners out there who couldn't come along to that live show do get the chance to watch it, like whether it ends up on TV somehow. Because I think we say in the episode, the documentary itself is relatively formulaic. But kind of as an access point for so many people, it would be so good to see a film like that get out there to a wider audience. And those films, because you see people talk about them a lot, but in terms of accessibility beyond kind of repertory cinema screenings, they're still not that accessible.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the interview episodes. We interviewed some great people this year. If you'd have asked me, I would have sworn that some of those initial names you mentioned, like the Flea Team, Sable, I would have sworn that was last year, not this year.
They went out this year.
Wow.
Right. They might have recorded them last year, but they went out this year.
That's still wild to me. Yeah. What amazing guests we've had from people who are doing amazing creative work in their own field that may have been inspired by Ghibli or are working in similar creative waters to Ghibli, to then some real standout names currently working in Japanese animation like Masaki Yuasa and Naoko Yamada towards the end of the year as well. It's a really nice range of guests. Of course, Yuasa and Yamada, two filmmakers that we've talked about maybe covering someday in miniseries form once we can figure out how to do the TV stuff alongside the film stuff. But hopefully those interviews were sort of good introductory sort of entry points to who they are. And then we can all go away and watch the films and TV series together and come back another day.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right. Well, that's enough on us. I think, should we have another story? Steph, would you do us the honours and chill us out with a lovely fireside tale?
Oh, okay. I think I've got the vibe wrong then. No, it's fine. Look, it cannot compete with Michael's beautiful, poetic rendering of The Night Before Christmas. Here from my tube journey home when I realised that I had not finished writing my story. We have a rendition of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Lovely. I can't wait.
You know Piglet and Pepper, Octa and Miss Piggy, Charlotte's Web, Gunda and Babe, Pig in the City. But do you recall...
Oh,
The most famous pig of all. Oh dear. Porco the pig-nosed pilot had a very shiny plane. I'm not going to be able to get through this.
Because it's so good.
And if you ever saw it, you surely wouldn't complain. All the Italian pirates fled when they heard his name. But they never let poor Porco join in any drinking games. Then one dark Italian eve, Gina came to say, Porco, the fascist Italian government is coming for you, and you need to hide right away. But oh, how the pirates loved him when he made the American guy flee. Porco the pig-nosed pirate, you'll go down in history. A short and sweet one there for
that
you.
That is so good.
That is great.
Very well done.
I do apologise for laughing at my own jokes.
Do not apologise at all. That was very, very good. Wow. I was going to say haunt me, but it's not going to haunt me because I'm just going to cherish that.
Yeah.
Every time I hear the fake version of that song about a reindeer, I'll have to remind whoever's singing it that the proper version is about a pig who flies planes.
I think he could do a good job as Santa, to be fair. He's got a large red flying machine. He's very jolly. He's kind at heart.
Have you watched any Christmas films this year?
I've seen The Muppet Christmas Carol with a live orchestra.
Oh, wow.
How was that?
It was great. It was so good.
And they put the song back in?
They did. They put in When Love Is Gone. Or The Love Is Gone? I can't remember what the official title of it is. But yeah, it was amazing. I've never heard that before. I've never seen it in that way.
What a way to hear it for the first time. That's so good.
Gorgeous. Yeah. I'm a big fan of those kind of films set to live music. It's really, it makes you focus on how much the music is doing in a film like that when you hear just constant music underneath the film. But yeah, that's been my only Christmas film so far this year, but it's been a good one.
I've been going through Christmas specials, as in so short films. With Ivo.
So you meant like only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, exactly. Although I know people who do that.
Ivo.
No, exactly. submitting him to that. But so the Snowman, Father Christmas, The Bear, which is one from the 90s that I don't think is as fondly remembered as the other Raymond Briggs related Channel 4.
Not the drama about a chef in Chicago.
No, sadly not. No, it's basically The Snowman, but with a bear, a polar bear that escapes from a zoo and ends up in a boy's bedroom. And it should be much more terrifying. The Richard Williams version of A Christmas Carol, which is really good, from the 1970s, and as a work of animation is incredible. And style-wise, tries to approximate the illustrations of the actual Dickensian story. So it's properly quite terrifying in places. And then what else is there? The Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
Oh,
did you watch that?
That sounds horrible.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, it's easily the best Marvel thing as I've seen for a long time.
Which
isn't really saying much, but, you know, it's quite funny to watch because they get almost the whole cast there, but with varying amounts of their time, and you can kind of tell who has more time for this than others. It's got some good musical bits in. It's sweet. It's fine. I think that's it, really. I wonder if there's going to be any features that we watch. I'm surprised I've dodged having to watch Love Actually or The Holiday so far.
I have watched The Holiday.
Do you like it?
I think The Holiday is fine. My favourite thing to do whilst watching The Holiday is bring up the same article I bring up every year, which is an article that goes through the mental timeline of events that is The Holiday. And I'll be like, well, they're just saying they're about to have Christmas Eve fettuccine, but then 2 days ago they said that they were going to be here for 2 weeks. But then if they come home on New Year's Eve, then it can't be Christmas Eve, because that would mean that the story began on the 16th. And that would mean that the Telegraph was having their Christmas party and closing down 10 days before Christmas. And yeah, so my girlfriend loves it when I do that. The holiday's all right. Home Alone's really good still. Noel, the Disney film, Disney one with Anna Kendrick as a girl boss Santa. That's really bad. And Violent Night with David Harbour as a sexy violent Santa is also really bad. So I haven't had much luck. Should we have a song?
Let's get back in the festive spirit rather than thinking about bad Christmas films. Yeah.
Yes. So this is song two. Michael, would you like to make the joke?
I didn't know we were doing Blur Ghibli Christmas songs this year. I thought it was Beatles Ghibli Christmas songs.
It's good stuff. There. Great, great. Nice.
Woohoo.
All right, right.
Mei and Satsuki chase out the dust in the house where nobody has been. Live in the dream, open the window. Hundreds of shy little dust balls are running around. Don't wanna be found, all the little soot sprites. Where do they all come from? All the little soot sprites, where do they all belong? Ah, look at all the lonely soot sprites. Look at all the lonely soot sprites.
Oh my gosh. He not only does he sing, he can play guitar, and he can also be a string quartet, as he was in that.
The pipes on this guy, it's nice when he flexes, when you can feel he's a bit confident and he goes for it. Yeah.
Have you seen the viral video of Michael Winslow that comes out every couple of years of him doing a whole lot of love? So Michael Winslow is the beatbox guy that was in Police Academy and showed up in Spaceballs. He was big in the 80s.
I've never seen this.
And it's him on Danish TV where he does a whole lot of love. He's got a guy next to him with an acoustic guitar, but Michael Winslow is vocals and electric guitar. And he basically wails and screams like an incredibly feedback-drenched, distorted guitar solo. And it's just incredible. I think we should maybe push Harold a bit more into that territory. That could be our money spinner.
Absolutely. Well, another classic Harold. All right. So we've looked back at the last year. Let's look ahead next year. There is a lot going on to be excited about if you're a Ghibli fan, right?
He's back. The man himself. The big guy. Hayao Miyazaki. New film out. Admittedly, only in Japan in the summer. We don't know much more beyond that yet. We don't even know if it's going to be called How Do You Live in English. When they announced it a few weeks ago, they made great pains to say that was the working title. Mm. So we'll see. But that's quite exciting. And everyone's, of course, abuzz with their speculation about how or when we'll get it in the UK.
Yes. So my theory is that it's going to premiere at Cannes, and which would be in May. And they've never premiered at Cannes.
Well, no, I just think that a lot is riding on this as a piece of popular cinema and premiering 2 months ahead rather than getting those bums on seats excited for the opening weekend. It's just something Ghibli doesn't do that.
Your bums on seats in July and then European premiere at Venice Film Festival. Yeah.
Or Toronto, because that's what they did with Wind Rises.
Yeah, I can see that as well. Yes, very exciting. And I read the book and I don't remember a dragon. And the poster very much has a dragon on it.
I thought it was a pelican.
I thought it was a bird. I thought it was a bird thing.
Oh, I read it. It's a dragon. Okay. Well.
Do we know
I don't remember a pelican either.
Finished, definitely coming out.
Well, they've announced that they wouldn't announce the release date if they weren't confident in meeting it. Mm-hmm. That's Takahata territory, announcing a release date they're not going to meet, rather than Miyazaki, who tends to stick to those. So they must be confident. It might not be finished. Might still be dripping wet.
He's trying to negotiate with Hideaki Anno to get him in.
He's going to play the dragon bird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's really exciting, right? I mean, something that whenever we've spoken about it over the years has felt so far away this sort of pipe dream of maybe we'll see it someday, and it's very likely that with from this time next year, when we're talking about the highlights of the year, we will have a Ghibli film to talk about.
Well, we did have that last year, didn't we?
A proper...
I feel really mean saying that, like, I'm really excited to see a proper Ghibli new release on the big screen for the first time, because I've never seen that. Like, I've never been to the cinema for a new Ghibli film. It feels a bit mean, seeing as, yeah, we have had some Ghibli film already, but...
We have Ghibli film at home.
But that's, I mean, that's the big one, right? But we also have new films from other filmmakers that we know and love and have talked about on the podcast before. We have the story of One Girl and Her Door, Suzume, which is already out in Japan, but the global rollout is coming early in the new year. Or is it February or April? I'm mixing this up. Was it March? Split the difference. It's coming in
a month next year.
It's coming sometime within Q1, Q2 next year. Yeah. But that's the new film by Makoto Shinkai after Weathering With You, Your Name. He's now one of the big guys in his own right in terms of popular animated cinema. So
I cannot wait for that. Watching the trailer, I might go watch the trailer again after we finish recording this, just to remind myself how mad that looks and just how I feel like Shinkai can just get away with anything at the moment, and it'll probably be like the biggest film of the year. So yeah, in the anime world, not the
You think it's gonna be bigger than Miyazaki?
Yeah, I realized as I said that. Well, you know, you have the Miyazaki fans, and then you have the fans of My Boyfriend is a Chair. So, you know, two different audiences, I think. They'll be battling it out, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see, because I think with Your Name, and to a certain extent also Weathering With You, he managed to sort of keep it buttoned up quite well to play to a broader audience, a crossover audience, whereas there's no avoiding this sort of plot line, which seems like, as you say, is ripped out of actual stranger genres of anime, or stranger to crossover audiences at least. Yeah, that's exciting. We also have the rest of the Ghibli Park opening up next year, as well as the Ghibli Park itself, which has only been open just over a month, and we're going to be seeing more and more envy-inducing photographs from people that we know, because now that you're allowed to travel to Japan, all those people who've been spending years delaying their holidays and honeymoons and trips will finally be able to go in the new year. I'm very excited for them, honestly.
Well, and later, like, I know it's winter is what their tweet said, but Studio Ponoc have got a new film as well, The Imaginary, and we don't really know too much about that as well, but I'm so excited for that. Just to, like, after the kind of calling card that was Modest Heroes and that brilliant Olympics film that they did as well, I'm like, that's somewhere where I'm totally ready to be surprised. I'm really intrigued by what they're going to do from a craft side of things. They seem really invested in kind of pushing what they want to do with animation, and they're not set in that house style. Yeah, very, very excited about that.
Can I shout out one more film project that's just come to mind? So this, because of course we'll be hearing more about animated projects when the film markets start happening from February onwards, and then Annecy comes around. So there'll be lots of stuff to discover there. But one thing that popped up from the blogs that are sort of scraping through the projects that are being touted at these markets is a film adaptation of the kids' book series Julian that's coming from Cartoon Saloon, that's going to be directed by Louise Bagnell, who we talked about her short, which was really wonderful short. We also talked about some of her sort of projects that felt like they were going to happen but haven't happened. She's worked closely, of course, with Tom Moore, and she worked with Nora Toomey as well quite closely. She seems to be like the next director in waiting at Cartoon Saloon, so it's really exciting to see that she might have a project really on the horizon. And the Julian kids books are really quite good, quite fun to see them adapted.
Well, and as well as doing our Wendell and Wilde episode, we will have to do a My Father's Dragon episode, because we have to update the iconography, the selection. No, we have to update the selectionary.
The selectionary, the Saluniverse.
Yeah, and we'll have to update Ghibliotech.
And then also, there's something else we've not done an episode about, which we've all three of us have seen, which I don't think there's a pun related to it, unless it's the Barbic Anthology. Where it's talking about the My Neighbor Totoro stage show.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Well, and we've got some lovely voice messages from people. So what we're going to be doing, whilst, because not everyone's had the chance to see it yet, whilst people are still filtering through, we're getting reactions from people, and we're going to be kind of building a bit of a diary from that, I guess, with our reactions, but lots of listener reactions too.
And of course, doing new mini-series with new filmmakers could be something we could do next year.
Could be someone we've already mentioned. Who's to say?
Exactly. Wow. Or a complete curveball. Who knows?
I think it's time for another story.
Yeah. So, the final story.
The final story. Before but not the final song.
Tuck up into bed and get ready for Santa.
Well, get that cocoa out, folks. It's time to hop aboard the Ghibli Express. On Christmas Eve, many years ago, I lay quietly in my bed. I did not rustle the sheets. I breathed slowly and silently. I was listening for a sound. A sound a friend had told me I'd never hear. The sound of a Studio Ghibli film. There is no director, my friend had insisted, but I knew he was wrong. Late that night, I did hear sounds, though not of rattling engines. From outside came the sounds of hissing steam and squeaking metal. I looked through my window and saw a train standing perfectly still in front of my house. It was wrapped in an apron of steam. Snowflakes fell lightly around it. A producer stood at the open door of one of the cars. He took a large clock that looked like a metal bird from his apron, then looked up at my window. I put on my slippers and robe. I tiptoed down the stairs and out the door. All aboard, the producer cried out. I ran up to him. Well, he said, are you coming? Where? I asked. Why, to Studio Ghibli, of course, was his answer. This is the Ghibli Express. I took his outstretched hand and he pulled me aboard. The train was filled with other children, all in their pyjamas and nightgowns. We sang songs about fish girls and ate ramen with ham, spring onions and runny eggs that were as soft as snow. We drank milk and honey tea as thick and as rich as melted honeycomb. Outside, the lights of towns and villages flickered in the distance as the Ghibli Express raced northward. Soon, there were no more lights to be seen. We travelled through cold, dark forests where lean wolves roamed and little white rattling creatures hid from our train as it thundered through the quiet wilderness. We climbed mountains so high it seemed as if we would scrape the moon and the princess who lives there. But the Ghibli Express never slowed down. Faster and faster we ran along, rolling over peaks and through valleys like holding on to the back of a dragon. The mountains turned into hills, the hills to snow-covered plains. We crossed a barren desert of ice, the great Yamagata ice cap. Lights appeared in the distance. They looked like the lights of a strange ocean liner sailing on a frozen sea. There, said the producer, is Studio Ghibli. Studio Ghibli. It was a huge animation house, standing alone at the top of the world, filled with offices where the best animation was being made. At first, we saw no animators. They are gathering at the centre of the animation house, the producer told us. That is where the director will decide who draws the first frame of animation. Who draws the first frame, we all ask. He will choose one of you. Look, shouted one of the children. The animators! Outside, we saw hundreds of animators. As our train drew closer to the centre of Studio Ghibli, we slowed to a crawl. So crowded were the streets with the director's helpers. When the Ghibli Express could go no farther, we stopped and their producer led us outside. We pressed through the crowd to the edge of a large open circle. In front of us stood the director's desk. The office cat was excited. It pranced and paced, ringing the silver bell that hung from its harnesses. It was a magical sound, like nothing I'd ever heard. Across the circle, the animators moved apart and the director appeared. The animators cheered wildly. He marched over to us and, pointing to me, said, "Let's have this fellow here." He jumped into his desk chair. The producer handed me up. I sat on the director's knee and he asked, "Now, what would you like to draw?" I knew that I could draw anything I could imagine, but the thing I wanted to draw most was not on the director's desk. What I wanted to draw more than anything was the silver bell from the Studio Ghibli office cat. When I asked, the director smiled. Then he gave me a hug and told an animator to draw a background for me. The animator tossed it up to the director. He stood, holding a paintbrush above him, and called out, "I'm better than this kid, so I'm coming out of retirement to do it myself."
Yes. Very good.
Oh. Wow.
All aboard.
That's the shock ending.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered to do the rest of it.
So the amazing thing is, in the film version of that, the kid, the producer and the director are all Tom Hanks.
Because I suppose you could, is it Toshio Suzuki is somehow all of these characters, I feel. Express, what a nightmare, but a great thing.
Good punchline, Jake.
A Christmassy fever dream. I loved
yes.
it.
Yes, thank you. All right, well, after that high, we should have one more song to kind of take us out to the finale and the end of the show. So, song 3. Harold, let's see what you've cooked up for us.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with marshes and trees and pearl-coloured skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. The girl with the powder blue eyes. Turbulent rain clouds of charcoal and grey towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her hair and she's gone. Boom, boom, boom. Money on the lake with Anna. Money on the lake with Anna. Money on the lake with Anna. Ah. Follow her down to a house by the marshes where curious people all toast with their wine. Everyone smiles as you hand out the flowers that all of them now want to buy. Later, the boatsman appears on the shore, waiting to take you away. Dance with the girl with your head in the clouds and you're gone.
Boom, boom, boom.
Money on the lake with Anna. Money on the lake with Anna. Money on the lake with Anna. Ah. Money on the lake with Anna. Money on the lake.
He's self-mixing.
Yeah. So what I love here,
I tried to manufacture a fade out there. I quite enjoyed it. I am a massive fan of a fade out. I think it's beautifully lazy, but also entirely wonderful way for songs to finish. Okay, big love to all of you and all of the Ghibli Tech listeners, and big happy Christmas vibes to everyone. Merry Ghibli-mas. Bye.
Oh, Harold.
Aww. So good.
So in the process of those three songs, he had been John Paul George. With the bum bum, he was Ringo. And with the fade out, he was George Martin. So We got so much Beatles for our book there.
I feel like that was the most assured, was that last one. I feel like he grew into the challenge, and by that end, he was really going for it. Yeah. Very impressed. Also, it did at one point sound like he was saying money, and in a way, I thought like that could have been a Beatles lyric. Money in the boat with Anna. Harold, that was a nice pace to kind of send us off, I feel, as well. But before we go, let's think broader. Let's go beyond Ghibli and quickly rattle off some of our favourites of the year, film-wise, TV-wise, anime-wise, whatever it might be. Let's just get some favourites to send our listeners off with to go and do some homework over a Christmas break if they've got the time. So, Michael, what do you want to give some shout-outs to?
I will do a quick shout out for one of my favourite films of the year. Listeners, you are probably fans of animation, and I think that the most singular vision within the world of animation this year is Mad God, Phil Tippett's 30 plus years in the making, wild, nightmarish, stop motion epic. It's on Shudder. I'd recommend checking that out. It's like nothing else that's come out this year.
That is a great pick. Steph, what about you?
Going slightly cozier than Michael's pick of Mad God, I think. Would recommend, if you're a fan of Naoko Yamada's K-On!, check out Bocchi the Rock. It's about an incredibly shy girl who is really good at guitar and wants to start a band, but doesn't really know how. Is really, really cute. She is really socially awkward. It's really funny. It's also so, so creative. There's a lot of like stop motion, live action, different kind of claymation and weird little experiments with animation in there, all while being very cute and funny with very good songs. Yeah, check it out.
That sounds great. One from me. It could be really bleak and say that the euthanasia documentary Last Flight Home is one of the most impressive things I've watched this year. But I won't say that. I won't say that. Forget that you heard it. I think actually Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy, the Ryosuke Hamaguchi film, which in the UK at least did come out this year, remains the best thing I've seen. I think he's a total master. I've had the pleasure of watching some of his short films over the year as well, which if you look in certain corners of the internet, you can watch. Really, really worth checking out. If you did see Drive My Car and you want more, there is so much more. I even got the chance to watch Happy Hour, his 5-hour epic, in the cinema, and that was just one of the most pleasurable experiences I've had in the big screen. What a time it was. So yeah, but what a time this has been with you.
Oh, this
both
has been fun.
Yeah. And well, we should say thank you as well to all our listeners. Thank you for joining with us throughout this year, and to all our patrons as well for supporting us on Patreon and enjoying our Library Cafe episodes. I also want to say thank you for sticking with us on that, because I mentioned on our Discord that I've had some rough stuff happening at home to be dealing with, which has kind of taken me out of the production mode. And so, well, thank you to Michael for really picking up on the interview series at the back end of the year, and for our patrons for kind of carrying on through whilst we might not have had as much as we might have liked. But from 2023, there will be lots more to come, lots of exciting stuff, lots of Library Cafes and ad-free episodes, and who knows what else might come in a very big, exciting year for Ghibli stuff.
But until then, of course, stick with us in the year. We can't wait to see what it has in store for us. Until then, you can find us on all the social media places. As long as Twitter still exists, we're on there, at Ghibli Attack. We're on Instagram, ghibliattack.pod. If you want to join us on Patreon, we're at patreon.com/ghibliattack. And we're all on social media individually as well. On Twitter, you can find Steph at _StephWatts.
You can find Jake at Jake H. Cunningham.
And you can find Michael at Michael J. Leader.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.